Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our habit, would you read together with me the title of our sermon? Let's Quit Hiding. And in just a moment, you're going to see how appropriate that picture is. I invite you to follow your sermon outline. It's provided for you in the handout you received from the usher, as together we consider our theme, Let's Quit Hiding. Our text is from Genesis 3, which reads, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and the man and his wife hid themselves. But the Lord God called to the man and said, 'Where are you?'" Has anything changed since Adam and Eve? We still try to hide after we do things that make us ashamed. Oh, I love to tell the story about my now grown son. He's 35. When he was 2 years old, trying to learn to go potty on his own. Now, some of you have heard this story, but today I have a real surprise for you. Well, sometimes he just didn't quite make it to the bathroom. And one day he was in the living room hiding behind a big green lazy boy chair. I saw him back there. He didn't think I could see him. And I said, "Christopher, are you okay?" And he said this, "Yes." And I said, "Son, are you going potty in your pants?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Christopher, are you hiding from Daddy?" "No." Well, that green lazy boy chair has surfaced again. It was passed down from us to our daughter, who now lives in the USA. She has two little girls, and by golly, on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, we have a third grandchild. But every Saturday morning, Beverly and I have a date with her on FaceTime, and we see our young children, our grandchildren in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, USA. It's great to hear them and see them on a computer screen and talk with them. It's wonderful. Beverly is Meemaw, and I'm Silly Bumpa. Recently, Abigail sent us a video of her two-year-old daughter trying to hide from Mama, guess where, on the same green lazy boy chair. In the video, we hear Mama saying, "Charlotte, did you go potty in your pants?" Then we see a zoom close-up of Charlotte's face and hear her sweet little voice as she says, "No." It is simply amazing how guilty a two-year-old child can look when she's trying to hide the truth. Has anything changed from one generation to the next? Has anything changed since Adam and Eve? How many of us try to hide from God or from others when we do things that bring us shame? There's a sense in which the human condition, as described in the book of Genesis, is still the same. Now, Genesis tells us that we are not an accident of creation. We're not some chance product of some so-called evolution, but we are a special, beloved creation of God. We have worth. We have value. God loves us, and with that love, he puts a claim upon our lives, a claim of obedience and responsibility. And this claim of obedience and responsibility is seen right away in the book of Genesis when God clearly tells our first parents what tree, just one in the entire garden, is off limits to them. They could enjoy everything God had made. He only made one request. Don't eat from this one tree. Trust me, I know what's best for you. But our first parents, as Mr. Mann has Dan read the scripture today, our first parents, tempted by that liar, that deceiver, that snake in the grass, Satan, learned to question God in their need to obey him. Who are you to tell me what I can eat and what I can't eat? I will eat whatever I please. And having eaten, Adam and Eve immediately feel alienated from God, aware of their disobedience. Whereas before, in their innocence, it made absolutely no difference, but now they know they're naked. And they foolishly try to hide their nakedness by covering themselves up with some leaves from a tree or some bushes. They foolishly try to hide from Almighty God behind some bushes. Like a little child trying to hide behind a green lazy boy chair. As if God could not see clearly through their disguise and see through their hiding place. Now, there's a sense in which Adam today is in every man, and there's a sense in which Eve is in every woman. Listen to their excuses in the garden. I didn't want to eat that fruit. It's the serpent you made. He made me eat it. It's that woman you gave me. She made me do it. By the way, you made the woman, you made the serpent, so I can't help it. It's not my fault. It's yours. Does any of that sound familiar today? Caught in sin and disobedience, it's all over the media. How refreshing it is when somebody says, I am wrong, I did it, but no. We blame something or somebody else. Things have really not changed since Adam and Eve. We know what is right and we still do what is wrong. We know what God's standards are, and we still do the opposite. And then when we're caught, we play the two oldest games in all of creation. Pass the buck and hide and go seek. Pass the buck. It's the serpent's fault. It's the woman's fault. Hide and go seek. Hey, Eve, pass me some more fig leaves. Scoot over so I can get behind the bush with you. And so today, we blame others or try to hide and cover up what we've done. But like Adam and Eve discovered, we learn these games just don't work. So today there are really only two things we can do, and it's on your outline, two things we can do when we stand before Almighty God, stripped of our excuses and stripped of our fig leaves. One, we can try to hide our shame and nakedness, try to hide from God, all the while blaming somebody else, or instead of hiding and blaming, we can look to Jesus, who has come to save us, to restore us, to cover our nakedness and guilt with his blood and his righteousness. Now, describing the reason he came, listen to Jesus' words in Luke 19. Verse 10. Luke 19, verse 10 is the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus coming to Zacchaeus and saying, come out of that tree, I'm coming to your house today. In Luke 19, 10, Jesus describes the reason he came. This is what he says. For I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those who are lost. Seeking and saving those who are hiding and lost, it's the very nature of God shown to us through the whole Bible. What did we hear in Genesis 3, verse 9? Right after Adam and Eve played the blame game as well as hide and go seek. Genesis 3, 9 says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said, ¿Dónde está? Where are you? He didn't speak in Spanish. I was just trying to wake you up. God said to Adam and Eve, where are you? Almighty God, in his mercy, did you catch this? Went looking for them. He knew where they were and what they'd done. Leaves and bushes could not hide them, but he went to them so that they could be restored and forgiven and renewed. This week, God in His almighty word and powerful sacraments went to the ICU unit of Richmond General Hospital. God came to this man named Harold to say, you've been running and hiding from me all these 25 or 30 years, but God knows where you are. Where are you? I have come for you. That's the nature of God. This morning, my friends, every Sunday morning, no, every morning of our lives, it's a good time for us, for you and me. Yes, I'm talking to you. To set aside the fig leaves, to come out from behind the bushes. It's time for repentance. It's time for honestly admitting we have been disobedient to God. We have known what is right and we've done the opposite. We have sinned and we've blamed somebody else or tried to hide the evidence. We have learned that these games, hide and go seek and pass the buck, just don't work. I don't know about you, but I know about me. We could all say, Lord, we are tired of our nakedness and our shame and our guilt. Here's the good news, my friends. We do not have to hide. We can come home. We can return to our Father's arms, and we can do this because of His Son who has come to seek and save those who are lost. From the very beginning, in the garden, God promised that He would send a Savior. He promised that the coming Savior would come to destroy sin, to destroy death, and to destroy the works of the devil. This promise was given in the garden where Adam and Eve were hiding. This promise was spoken in their hearing, but God was really talking to the devil when He said these words in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall come and crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is what theology calls the proto-evangelium, the first mention of the gospel, the coming of the Savior to crush and destroy the works of the devil. He who is coming is the offspring of the woman. He is the descendant of Adam and Eve. He will come to crush the serpent's head, destroy his work, destroy hell and sin and death. And when the time was right, Galatians 4, verse 4 said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth the Savior. On the cross, Jesus bore our sin and shame. He who was sinless took upon Himself our sin. He was crucified, His body was broken, His blood was poured out. And unlike Adam and Eve, He did not run and hide. Unlike Adam and Eve, He blamed nobody else. He did not hide from this painful and horrible duty. Can you imagine bearing the sins of every man and woman and boy in this world? And everything that He did, Brad Pelling, He did for you. Everything that He did, Alan Oliver, He did for you. Everything that He did, Joan McKenzie, Violet Haas, He did for you. In this way, He truly fulfilled His promise, for I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those who are hiding and lost. Well, the bad news today is this. Not much has changed since Adam and Eve. Disobedience and blaming and hiding continue. But the good news is this. There is still hope for sinners. God still calls out to every sinner. God still calls out to you and me. Where are you? And we can answer Him. Repent of our sins. Have our nakedness covered. Our relationship with God restored. My friends, no more games of hide and seek. Let's quit hiding and let's run into our Father's arms. In the name of Jesus, amen.